Wednesday edition. Mr. Irrelevant, I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio. Downtown Milwaukee, snowy Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. No Joshy today. Joshy is under the weather, probably didn't want to deal with the snow, so hopefully Joshy will be able to rejoin us Friday, but no Joshy today, just Hunter and I driving you along on this this snowy Wednesday. Big Wisconsin day, though, right? Like, big snowstorm, you get the Summerfest 2025, at least partially. The lineup drops this morning. Hunter, any big takeaways, by the way? Summerfest lineup? Any thoughts on that?
I'm going to be honest, haven't looked at it at all. Been kind of a busy morning. That'll be a tonight thing, and then I can give you a recap, I guess, on Friday.
All right, that sounds good. Not a ton of big takeaways for me. I mean, there's some good stuff and some good shows I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, I must admit, Natasha Bedingfield did not realize she was still performing. So, going to be good to see Pocket Full of Sunshine and Unwritten live and in person that first weekend of Summerfest. But yeah, it's always a big day. Always an exciting day. And maybe I'm alone on that, but obviously, as we talked a lot about last year, like, I went to all 9 days of Summerfest, love Summerfest. But we will see. We'll see. So, anyway, a lot of Packers stuff I want to get into today. I want to play a couple of games. I want to play the percentage game a bit later, which essentially will be Hunter's going to throw a name at you. I'm going to give you a percentage on the percent chance I think they're a Green Bay Packer in 2025. So that'll be fun. We have about 10 names for that. As always, we'll play One Word Wednesday. We'll play some What We Learned. I do want to make a case for Devontae Adams a bit later and why the reunion makes so much sense for the Packers and the wide receiver Devontae Adams. But I want to start with Jordan Love and the 2020 draft class. Think about some of the quarterbacks in that class. Hunter, can you name a few quarterbacks in the 2020 NFL draft class?
I mean, we got the GOAT, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocking a seventh round pick. Jake Fromm to the Bills in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, exactly who I'm thinking of.
Yes, I figured you were. But really, it's the Jalen Hurts was a second round pick to the Eagles.
Yep.
Joe Burrow first overall to the Bengals. You had Tua going fifth to the Dolphins, and Justin Herbert sixth to the Chargers, and then of course Jordan Love going 26th overall. Why? I don't know why, but I always felt like he was like the 20th pick. I don't know why. I know he went 26.
Right smack dab in the middle there. Yeah. I think the Packers had the 29th or 30th pick in that draft, and they moved up to 26 to grab him. But so, yeah, those five, no offense to Ben DiNucci and Jake Fromm, are the ones I want to focus on. So you mentioned Jalen Hurts, who was a second-round pick in 2020, has now won a Super Bowl, has been to two Super Bowls, and has six postseason wins, which leads the draft class. Joe Burrow, the number one overall pick, has been to a Super Bowl, lost that Super Bowl to the Rams a couple years back, but has five postseason wins. Jordan Love has one postseason win, and Justin Herbert and Tua each without a postseason win under their belt here through the first five seasons. Why I bring that up is not to say, oh, Jordan Love is way behind, you know, the guys he was drafted with. While that is true on Jalen Hurts already being to two Super Bowls and winning one and winning a Super Bowl MVP, and Joe Burrow appearing in a Super Bowl and been just about as dominant as any quarterback in the NFL this past year, I don't bring that up to say, wow, Jordan Love's really far behind. Because, A, he's only started for 2 years. The rest of these guys have pretty much started since the rookie year. And B, there's still a lot of time left, right? There is still a lot of time for Jordan Love to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl MVP and go ahead and continue this growth we have seen through the first two seasons as a starter for him. But I just want to put some things into perspective. Playing quarterback in the NFL is a really hard thing to do. And it is a really hard thing to do at a high level. I don't think I needed to spell that one out for you, but I'm going to anyway. We see so many quarterbacks get drafted high, start for a few years, and flame out, right? Guys you never see again, right? Think about the Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold draft class. This is a really good quarterback class in 2020, right? We know how good Joe Burrow is and can be when he's healthy. We know how good Jalen Hurts can be and has been the last couple of years, with exception to when they fell off at the end of the 2023 season. But coming off of a Super Bowl, coming off of a Super Bowl MVP, throwing for two touchdowns, running one in, Jalen Hurts, really good quarterback. Justin Herbert, man. I mean, he went through the ringer early on in his career. Got thrown into action because of a punched lung, right? Punctured lung. By, I believe it was Tyrod Taylor was the starter there at that point. Justin Herbert gets thrown in and he becomes the starter from that point forward. But multiple head coaches, Anthony Lynn and Brandon Staley and now Jim Harbaugh, they make the playoffs this year. Not a good game for him against Houston. Throws four interceptions. But at least getting back there. And Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. Like, he'll be back. Especially with a good head coach like Jim Harbaugh with him. Tua's the weird one where, obviously, injuries have caused so much derailment in the first 5 years of his career. But all in all, he's in a good situation. He's a pretty good quarterback as long as he can stay healthy. But that's been a big if with him. So, again, why I bring this all up is to say we are going to rank these guys. And we are going to be honest about where Jordan Love ranks in his draft class. But we have to operate under the understanding of this can change. This isn't the end-all, be-all, and there is a lot of time left for Jordan Love to change our minds. But as it stands right now, far and away, despite no Super Bowl title, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback of this class. It's why he was the number one overall pick, and it's why he makes as much money as he does. It's why the Cincinnati Bengals believe in him as much as they do. Joe Burrow is far and away the bona fide best quarterback in this draft. But second is Jalen Hurts. I used this example a couple weeks ago because it tells you how fast things can change in the league. 2 years ago, after Jalen Hurts appeared in his first Super Bowl against the Chiefs and lost, all the pundits were saying, Jalen Hurts, best quarterback in the NFC, Jalen Hurts, MVP finalist this upcoming year. And he was good 2 years ago, but they lost six of their last seven. They flame out early in the postseason. And then this past offseason, Jalen Hurts is the forgotten son. Nobody's talking about Jalen Hurts as the best quarterback in the NFC, or the guy to watch for, or the guy who could be the most improved quarterback. Like, he's not being talked about anymore. And now as we enter next season, Jalen Hurts will be back in that conversation because he did what every quarterback hopes to do, and that is win a Super Bowl. So that tells you how fast things can change. But after the Super Bowl win, pretty clear, Jalen Hurts, the number two quarterback in this draft class. I go Jordan Love third best. Here's why. Number one, he has a playoff win. And number two, I'm more impressed with what Jordan Love has been able to do starting in a crappy situation. No matter how you split it, the 2023 season was an unfair spot for Jordan Love. He's with a ton of inexperienced wide receivers. He's with rookie tight ends. He just was in a scenario where he was kind of set up to fail. And that was done on purpose by the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Like, if it worked the way it did, great, we're ahead of schedule. But that was viewed as a rebuilding year. And Jordan Love, the second half of that season, became the best quarterback in football, went on the road to a tough Dallas team, and smoked them in the postseason, hung right in there with San Francisco. But yeah, he threw a bad interception at the end of that game. This past season was an up-and-down rocky road for Jordan Love. We can all admit that. Between injuries, bad decision-making, it was an up-and-down road. But all in all, I think you feel pretty confident about Jordan Love being the face of your franchise and being a franchise quarterback. He's proven it through 2 years. Hopefully it is only up from here as Love still tries to figure out that consistency. Close fourth is Justin Herbert. The talent is off the charts. The guy has played a ton of football. And what we've kind of always thought with Herbert is, it's just going to take the right head coach to unlock it. He's got the head coach. He doesn't have the weapons. To the point, like, we're going to talk a bit. I do think it makes sense for Davante Adams to come back to Green Bay and help make that wide receiver room explode. Herbert's dealing with, like, nobody. Like, Ladd McConkey looks like he'll be a nice piece. And Josh Palmer seemed like he was going to be a nice piece. He's a free agent now, probably not going to be back. Herbert is a close fourth. Coming in last of those five is Tua Tagovailoa. And again, that's really no fault of his own. He's just been so injured with the concussions. But he's a good quarterback. All five of these guys, good quarterbacks. But I have Jordan Love ranked third in this draft class. And again, things can change. Love could catapult to number two, even number one with a Super Bowl win next year. But right now, as it stands, I have him at number three, Herbert and Tua behind him. But again, that's a tight debate with Herbert. He's a really good quarterback. So my point here is, this draft class, number one, stacked at the quarterback position. There's a bunch of franchise quarterbacks in here, really high-paid quarterbacks now, all five of them getting their money. But two of them have been to a Super Bowl. One of them has been to two Super Bowls. One of them just won a Super Bowl. So clearly, this puts the pressure on just a tad more for a guy like Jordan Love, who was drafted ahead of the Super Bowl MVP. Go ahead, Hunter.
Do you think part of the knock on Jordan Love is, and when it comes to, like, we're doing ranking it in this class, is the fact that Joe Burrow, his second year, went to a Super Bowl. So it's just like, it's, I mean, I heard a fan on Wilde and Tausch, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, was like, it's so easy to rebuild in the NFL. And it's like, no, it's really not. And
no,
then you
not.
Have
yeah, no, it's not.
Joe Burrow doing something that doesn't normally happen, and yet he was able to do it, and now you have, you know, Hurts going to two of them too. Like, the fact that those two got into really great situations of insane talent around them, I think hurts what Herbert and Love, I think, in a normal draft class with the things that they have shown at times, would be considered higher than those two off of just pure talent. It's just they haven't had the teams around them, or for Jordan Love, the opportunities to be able to do what the other two have done.
Yeah, I mean, so to your point on Hurts, like, he got drafted into one of the most fundamentally sound situations in all of football, right? Like, that Philadelphia team is built so strategically and so well, and Howie Roseman, if I didn't give him enough flowers on Monday's show, let me do that right now. He's the best general manager in the NFL, and he continues to turn over good team after good team after good team after good team. Like, it's just what he's been able to do as the GM in Philly. For Burrow, I mean, that's kind of a Washington Commanders of this year situation, right? Like, Burrow was not walking into a healthy situation. They did a ton of work in free agency after his rookie year, which ended, obviously, with an injury. They draft Ja'Marr Chase, who has evolved into the best receiver in football. Obviously, T. Higgins and Burrow were rookies together in 2020. So he came up with those guys, kind of like Love is with his guys. They just haven't evolved into true number ones in this league, like Chase and Higgins both did in Cincinnati. So, yeah, I mean, it turned around fast, but I would compare Cincinnati more so to what Washington did this year, right? They have the number two pick in the draft. They draft Jaden Daniels. They get things right defensively. They get things right on the coaching staff. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in the NFC Championship game. So, yeah, I guess to your other point, I don't know that Love would ever be considered, you know, the bona fide number one pick or a top 10 pick if we were to redraft this class. I mean, clearly he's proven he's a pretty good quarterback, but in his class, he's middle of the pack as it stands right now.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't thinking of him as, like, if you redrafted, you're taking him first. But I think, and it's, you know, I saw Bradley on the YouTube comment section. Like, I know Justin Herbert has thrown a million interceptions when he's been in the playoffs. I get that.
He actually has. I mean, he just did this year. He threw four this year. They had that epic meltdown against Jacksonville, but I don't think he threw an interception in that game.
But, like, my point with Herbert and with Jordan Love is I see so many moments where their highs, I think, are higher than what Joe Burrow can do. Like, that's how much I think that those guys are good at the quarterback position. They just haven't done it the full amount of time. I think Jordan Love is, like, he has the talent to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's just not doing it every single week or even from, like, possession to possession, and then that's why you're having the issues.
Well, with Burrow, I mean, I wouldn't shortchange him. Like,
I'm not shortchanging him. This could be a really good class. This could be the 86 draft class that had, like, three Hall of Fame quarterbacks out of it or whatever it was. Like,
I think it was 83?
Yeah, whatever it was. Like, I'm just saying that, like, I think those two, they have the moments where they can be as good as him. That's not knocking Joe Burrow. That's not saying he's bad. I'm saying those two have the moments where they can do it. They just don't do it consistently yet. And if they do, I think we're talking about them being as good as he is. Like, I can still lift those two up without knocking down Joe Burrow.
I hear you. I just don't agree. Like, I frankly just don't. Like, Love has had really good moments, and Hurts obviously has had awesome moments, which led to a Super Bowl MVP this past weekend. I think Burrow, more so than anybody in this class, has that killer instinct to take over a game. Like, he can change a game to the level of the Josh Allen's, Lamar Jackson's, Patrick Mahomes, vintage Aaron Rodgers, you know, like Peyton Manning. Like, that's the level I think Joe Burrow is at. And it's not a knock on those other guys. It's just, I think he's that good. 1983 is the class you're referring to, with John Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino drafted in the first round of the 1983 draft. So that's where I stand right now. Like, Love, middle of the pack, obviously has the opportunity to improve, but gonna need a big offseason from his front office. Agrees, does his, at least as it stands right now, CB1, Keyshawn Nixon, who's been hitting the social media streets this week, has Keyshawn Nixon trying to, bring over an old friend. Keyshawn Nixon tweeting this yesterday. Yo, Tay, at Tay15 Adams, pull back up. Insinuating, hey, come back to Green Bay, Tay Adams. The recruitment certainly not ending, as Keyshawn Nixon trying to reunite with an old teammate of his in Davante Adams. Now, we will get to the case for Davante, because it does make sense for both sides to get to this reunion. But just thought that was amusing. Keyshawn Nixon getting in the social media dirt here. Just about a month from today is when the new league year opens. 4 weeks from today, March 12th, will be the beginning of the NFL league year. And we will be live with you like we were a year ago here on Mr. Irrelevant, breaking down any news that will come across. We had Josh Jacobs of course, Xavier McKinney news come across last year during our free agency special. That was a blast. One of my favorite shows. I mean, this is episode 214. One of my favorite ever was we were talking to Jason Wilde, who was holding his cat, I believe in his daughter's bedroom. He was just like hanging out with the cat because it was scared. And then, holy crap, Josh Jacobs got signed by the Green Bay Packers. And there was that brief moment in time where we thought it would be Jacobs and Jones in the Packers' backfield this season. That would have been fun, by the way. But we will be with you, 4 weeks from today when the new league year opens. And maybe Davante Adams will be a Green Bay Packer 4 weeks from today, dependent on what they can go ahead and, offer up.
With Keyshawn Nixon tweeting at Davante Adams like this, and then I saw during Super Bowl week, Jordan Love was on with Micah Parsons on Micah's podcast and saying like, yeah, we'd love to have you in Green Bay or something to that effect. Is there a certain point where the NFL is going to start like telling these players like, hey, you can't be doing this. Like, we're going to consider this tampering and you have to stop doing that, because it's starting to feel that way a little bit.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way, for sure. But,
care about it because it's tampering that could potentially help the Packers. That's what this is right now.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just needed to make sure you were being honest.
But let's be honest, though, with the situation. It's a little bit different than a normal tampering thing, right? Like, the Jets don't want Davante Adams back. He's not going to be on the Jets, so I hear you. It's probably not legal, if we're being honest, but whatever. The news this morning is Jason Wilde in the Wisconsin State Journal wrote an article essentially saying, if a reunion is in the works, Adams is open to the idea. A source close to Davante Adams telling our friend Jason Wilde. Hello. Adams open to the idea. Now, Adams, at least, or somebody close to Adams reporting earlier this week, too, he would want to join the 49ers, Chargers, Rams, or Packers. So a team in California, where he's from, or the Packers reuniting in Green Bay, which I think is a very, very likely option. And we will get to that coming up right now. So we've got a list of potential trade targets or free agent targets or Packers free agents that are walking out into the open market. Hunter is going to throw a name at me. I am going to give you the percentage I think they are in Green Bay in 2025. Listen to this funky music.
It's the match game.
I feel like a little bass riff. Oh, I like that, Hunter. Clever by you. Let's play the percentage game on Mr. Irrelevant. Hunter has a name. I give you a percentage. I think they are a Green Bay Packer in 2025.
We're going to start with a wide receiver, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I have this at about a 0.5% chance. The Packers have their Deebo Samuel. Now, he is not as good as Deebo Samuel by any means, but that would be Jaden Reed. He does a lot of the things in this Packers offense that Deebo does in San Francisco. I just don't think this one makes really any sense. So I will put this at 0.5%. Deebo Samuel is a Green Bay Packer in 2025.
Let's go with somebody who was a Packer last year, Josh Myers.
Yeah, the center. This is an interesting one. Because the Packers let, now former Packer, now he's a New York Giant, right guard John Runyon walk last year in free agency. Is he worth as much to another team as he is the Packers? In Runyon's case, the answer was yes. In Josh Myers' case, I don't know. I would think if the deal makes sense, the Packers would make it without hesitation. This would be a second deal or second contract for Josh Myers, which is not abnormal for the Packers. Third contracts is where it gets abnormal. I still think Myers is going to get some money on the open market and think he likely walks. But I'm not fully certain on that. I'm going to put it at about a 45% chance Josh Myers is back in Green Bay in 2025. I'm leaning more. He's gone. But I think the door is still very open for him to return and be the center for Green Bay in 2025. So I'll put it at 45% that Josh Myers is back in 2025.
Yeah, I think there's enough teams that are poorly enough run to see something in Josh Myers and pay more than what the Packers are willing to. And
the Giants, yep. The Giants and Runyon are a great example of that, right? Like
exactly.
Runyon was a fine right guard. He wasn't all pro by any means, but he was fine. He was serviceable. The Packers clearly, though, had an option to replace him this year in Sean Ryan, and it was cheaper to do that. So they went that route. Josh Myers, though, I don't know who comes in and plays center. Do you move Elton Jenkins and pop Jacob Morgan in at Jordan Morgan in at left guard? I did it again. Probably. So we will see, but I they'll figure it out if they move on from him. It's just dependent on the number. And I don't know, to your point, there probably is a New Orleans Saints or a New York Giants or a New York Jets who are willing to pay more money than the Packers are for Josh Myers services. But I still think that door's open, at least as it stands right now on February 12th.
Moving on, let's go to the defensive line. Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, this one is intriguing. The Bengals would love nothing more than to hang on to him and figure out. So essentially last week, Trey Hendrickson, who led the league in sacks last year, saying at Radio Row, I need a new contract one way or another. Whether that's in Cincinnati or elsewhere, I don't really care. I need a new deal. I would imagine Cincinnati gets the deal done with Trey Hendrickson, who I believe will be turning 31 or is 31 as it stands right now, entering next year. I think this one's really unlikely. I'll go about 4% on Trey Hendrickson. I think he's back in Cincinnati.
Next, then, let's go back to a Packer, Eric Stokes.
Yeah, I think he's back.
Really?
I don't know that anybody would want to pay him very much money. You know, I think he's back on like an A.J. Dillon cheap, weird deal. I'm going to go 80% here on Eric Stokes. I think there is at least in my head, it makes a lot of sense to bring him back. Now, you don't want him being a top corner, but could he be a nice third, fourth depth piece? Yeah, I think so. And I think he won't garner a lot of money. Now, could this be a one-year deal? Yes, I very much think so. This could be we're going to offer you a very low contract. You're not going to be a big part of our defensive focal points. Right, you're going to be kind of a depth piece in our quarterback room. I'm high here. I think it's an 80% chance Eric Stokes comes back. And, I mean, just reading the comments already, Brizzle said they better not bring Stokes back. Brizzle, I imagine you are not the only Packers fan that feels that way. I think it's very, very likely, though.
Oh, I'd be shocked if they do. I think they're just going to be like, nah, we're good, man. I think they're going to use some high early draft picks on defensive back, and they're just going to be like, nah, we're fine. Let's stay on the defensive side of the ball. Let's go back to another edge rusher, Max Crosby. Do the Packers become Raiders East?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If there is a trade option, which again, let's be very clear here. The biggest trade the Packers have made in the last 40 years is when they traded for Brett Favre from the Falcons. They just don't make trades. When they make trades, they are sending somebody out, not bringing somebody in. It never happens. So I think it's unlikely they make a trade. But I think the most likely option of the some of the edge rushers we are going to discuss, and we have a couple left on the list, I think Max Crosby is the most likely one. I still think it is low in terms of likelihood. I'll put it at 12%. 12% Max Crosby is a Green Bay Packer in 2025. I think he's going to get moved. And I think the Packers will likely be in the mix and have some conversations about Max Crosby. I think in terms of money, in terms of age, and in terms of what the capital it will take to get him, he makes the most sense of the people on this list. I still don't, the Packers just don't make trades. Now, I really hope this is the offseason they do, but what proof have I been given that says the Packers make trades? 12% for Max Crosby.
Before we get to that other edge rusher that I know has been talked a lot about, how about Cooper Kupp?
This will be the only name on this list I do this for. This is a 0% chance.
Really?
Old, expensive, and slow. Like this is just the anti-Goody move. It will once again take a trade. The Packers don't make trades. This one makes the least sense of anybody on the list. 0%. And maybe I should say never say never. So 0.01%. I think it is incredibly unlikely that Cooper Kupp would be a Green Bay Packer. So I'm going to put this one really low. 0.1%.
See, this feels like one of those things where the Rams try to shop him, realize nobody's willing to bite because they're like, no, you'll just release him. And then it's a spot where the Packers are like, hey, you interested in coming on? And they get him on a good deal. Like, I think it's going to be a wake up for, like, I know that gets a little tinfoil hatty, but I just have a weird feeling that that could happen. So that's why I'd put it at like a 10%, but I think that's the route that if it was to happen, that's how it would happen.
I like your creativity. I like the thought on it. I just think it is so unlikely. I haven't looked at the financials, right? Like, I don't know if they would save money by cutting him or if it needs to be a trade, which is what it sounds like to me. I'd need to look into it a little bit. I don't know if they're going to cut him. I haven't heard that yet. And if they are, that might move the needle a little bit for me, but I still think it's incredibly unlikely that he's the exact opposite of what Brian Gutekunst looks for. He's old and slow, and if he's inexpensive, then maybe it changes the needle, moves the needle a little bit. But old, slow, and expensive is certainly not a Goody recipe. So that's why I think Cooper Kupp makes no sense at Green Bay.
Let's go with a player who was a Packer again last year, Eric Wilson.
Yeah, this one's this one's intriguing. So they still have Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Edrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, all under contract. But they like Wilson. He's a good special teams piece. He's a good depth piece at that linebacker position. Had a nice year. He's a good veteran presence in that room, which lacks veteran presence, right? Other than him, I think Quay Walker is your most experienced player. I would guess this one's pretty likely. I'd go 70% Eric Wilson is back in Green Bay next year. They like him a lot. Now, I think it would be a short-term deal, probably 1 or 2 years max. But if they can make it work, I would have a hard time believing he'd want to go anywhere else. He's carved out a really nice role for himself in Green Bay. So I would say 70% chance Eric Wilson back in Green Bay in 2024, which clearly the theme so far in this game is I'm a believer that the free agents the Packers have, they're going to take care of. Like, I think they'll make Josh Myers an offer. I think Eric Stokes will be back. I think Eric Wilson will be back. And then your other free agents are Brandon McManus, the kicker, who's likely back. I didn't throw that name on this list because I think that one's such a surefire, yeah, come on back. So I think the Packers are going to take care of their own this offseason, which leads us to a conversation we'll get to in just a moment. But we've got a couple names left on this list.
Yeah, another edge rusher, Myles Garrett. I feel like this is probably one of the lowest ones. This would be wild if they did it.
It is. It is one of the lowest ones. Look, I would love if they did it. But to go back to what I said for Max Crosby, this is just something the Packers don't do. And it's going to take a lot to get Myles Garrett. You know, I think, Hunter, was it you that sent me the article this morning? It could be a first-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and Romeo Doubs is what this could take.
Yeah, and I feel like the team likes Romeo enough that they're going to want to see what he's got there. And to give up that much, like that much draft capital and potential for a team that loves their draft picks is wild.
Right. Bingo. For a team that loves their draft picks. And the Packers do. Despite the fact first round has been kind of a bugaboo for Goody, I just don't see them giving up two of them and maybe a player to acquire. Well, don't get me wrong. Hall of Famer, Defensive Player of the Year candidate every year, it seems. He's that good. And this would be a complete game changer on expectations, on the future of the Packers, right? I mean, if they acquired Myles Garrett, everybody's going, they're a real Super Bowl contender. Legitimate Super Bowl contender. I just don't think it's going to happen. I have it at about a 3% chance. It's a fun idea. It'd be awesome. I just don't think it happens. 3% chance Myles Garrett is a Packer. Yeah. I'm rooting for it. Don't get me wrong.
If they make the Myles Garrett trade happen, I feel like that means the entire front office has made a seismic shift in the way that they view the offseason, which I just don't think they're going to do. Because Goody's kind of made it seem like in his last press conference that's not what's going to happen.
No, probably not to that level, right? I mean, in his season-ending presser, he talked about a sense of urgency and that they realize, and he didn't use this term, I'm paraphrasing, but that the championship window is open. And they're still a step away, and they still need some improvements at key positions, which, of course, includes edge rusher. But to this level, I just don't see them taking this big of a swing. Now, will they call about it? Yeah, I'm sure they will. Will they look into it? Yeah. Because if it comes out that Myles Garrett's getting traded for a third-round pick 2 years in a row, right, two third-round picks, everybody's going to go, what the hell are we doing? I would have given a second and a third. Or I would have given two twos. But unlikely that will be the haul. We will see.
And then one last name. The former Packer, Davante Adams.
Yeah. I think everybody sees this coming. It's just a matter of if Goody wants to pull the trigger. Because I think it'll happen if he does. I think it is no problem. Hey, New York, here's what you want. Send him over. Hope he still has the keys to his house. I've got this at 60%. I think it is more likely it happens than it doesn't. It's because it makes so much sense for both sides. Packers lack a number one receiver. Jets don't want him. Packers can pay him. Short-term deal. He's an older guy, but he's still playing really good football. I think it's more likely than not that this happens. That is the point I've gotten to as we read the reports from Jason Wilde. It's just the Goody factor. That's the unpredictable part here. Does Goody want to add experience to that room? I don't know the answer to that question. Last year, the answer was no. The year prior, the answer was no. Will the answer this year be, all right, we need him. We need somebody. Go get him. I hope so. I think it's more likely than it's not, but I don't view it as like a 100%. We all knew Davante Adams was going to go to the Jets at one point. That felt like a surefire thing. Everybody's saying, all right, before Halloween, before the trade deadline, Devontae's going to be a Jet. And sure thing, he was. Feels similar to that. Davante Adams goes on a show. What is he talking about? The Packers. Jordan Love. Jordan Love goes on a show. What is he talking about? Davante Adams. Wide receivers. It almost seems too perfect. But I think that one's very, very likely. And there is a case to be made here, which we'll do in just a moment. But Hunter, final thoughts on the percentage game.
if Devontae comes to Green Bay, and it, like you said, it's feeling like that's going to happen here, are you addressing, if you're Devontae, the fact that you wanted out basically because you didn't believe in Jordan Love? Like, I know there was other factors, but like, it really kind of felt like he didn't fully believe in Jordan Love at the time. Like, are you addressing that to Love?
It is a fair thought, but no, you don't address it, A. But B, I don't know that that was the entire reason. I think there were multiple reasons, right? He knew the rebuild was coming. He knew Aaron Rodgers' time was limited, whether that be in the league or in Green Bay or both. For Devontae, it was he wanted to get closer to home. He wanted to get to a team that he thought was going to compete for championships. Obviously, the Raiders did not. And obviously, the Raiders were appealing because his college quarterback, Derek Carr, was there at the time. So that's why that one made so much sense. And again, the Raiders are such an anomaly to me because it's like they have the pieces, man. Derek Carr's a pretty good quarterback. Devontae Adams obviously was, when he got traded, the best receiver in football, many viewed him as. Max Crosby was still on his ascend. Like, they had pieces. Now they've added Brock Bowers after the fact and everything else. But they are a team that seemingly can never get it right. That was an opportunity to get it right, and they didn't. So, yes, there was a portion of that where Devontae did not want to be in a situation where there was uncertainty at the quarterback position. And to his point, there was plenty of uncertainty at the quarterback position. Nobody knew what Jordan Love was going to become. I don't know if, you know, he's not superstar level yet, but he is clearly a good quarterback that can win football games. And now that Devontae has seen that, you know, you have new evidence, maybe you can change your mind a little bit. But, I mean, we've heard Jason Wilde and Rob Domofsky and everybody we've had on the show, Wes Hodkowitz, say it a million times. Like, Jordan Love wasn't that impressive his first couple of years in the league when he was backing up Aaron Rodgers. He was inaccurate. He didn't pick up the offense right away. Like, there were things about Love that were concerning. And then he kind of killed those concerns in year one and continued to kill those concerns in year two. He looks like an NFL starter. He looks like an NFL quarterback. And Devontae Adams knows that now. So, yeah, opinions can change when you learn new evidence. But to your point, like, when you say, hey, I don't really want to deal with uncertainty, I want to compete for championships, it's kind of an indication on what he thought on Love at the point. But new evidence, you can obviously change your opinion. And I think that's kind of what happens here with Devontae, is he compares him to some of the better quarterbacks in the league. And hopefully he's talking about his quarterback this season. Because I think the case for Devontae is an easy one. The case for Devontae Adams is it's worth it for both sides. The Packers have a nice core of wide receivers, but they lack one thing in particular. A true number one. A true security blanket. A Mr. Reliable, if you will. Championship teams have that. They just do. You want to run through the list? Philly is A.J. Brown. Kansas City has had Travis Kelce. Tampa Bay and New England had Rob Gronkowski. It is incredibly rare for a Super Bowl winning team to not have a true go-to guy. And while Romeo Doubs has kind of served that role for Jordan Love, he's been injured. He's been up and down. He's been inconsistent. Romeo Doubs isn't a true number one. He's a good receiver. He's a nice piece. Jaden Reed has had flashes where you go, holy smokes, is that dude talented? And is he going to be something great in this league at some point? And I still believe he will be. But he's not yet a true number one. Christian Watson, of anybody on this team, has looked the part the most. His vertical ability, contested catches. He's done a lot of really nice things. But guess what? You're not going to have Christian Watson for, if not more, or if not at least, half the season. Because he tore his ACL in the regular season finale on January 6th. Or January 5th, whatever that Sunday was. Christian Watson's a really good piece. He's a really good wide receiver. But you're just not going to have him this year. And Dontayvion Wicks, while he has the talent, hasn't taken that next step. I think it would be a really bad idea for the Green Bay Packers to go into next season with the trio of Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontayvion Wicks and just call that good enough. For a team that views their championship window as open, it would be malpractice to just trot those guys out there and say, that's good enough. What Devontae Adams offers you is probably a short-term stay, 1 or 2 years, to bridge that gap and help continue the development while serving as that top guy. Devontae Adams still got some ball game left in those legs. He's still a really good receiver. So I think Devontae can come in, be that top guy for a few years, while Jaden Reed continues to ascend and Dontavian Wicks continues to mature and cut down on those drops for both of those guys. As Christian Watson gets healthy and maybe returns to what he had been and then continues that growth. It just makes a ton of sense for both sides. Devontae Adams wants to chase a title and add to his legacy. Green Bay is one of, what would you say, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams that have a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl next year. Adding a guy like Devontae Adams increases the effectiveness of that offense. It helps Jordan Love. It helps the receivers around him. Helps the tight ends. He's one of the best in the league. And he's not going to have to get paid like a Ja'Marr Chase or like a T. Higgins will on the open market. He'll be expensive, and rightfully so. But for the first time in a long time, this is a type of player that the Packers can afford and would be better for paying. They'd be better for it. It just makes a ton of sense in my mind for both sides here. For Devontae Adams to come back to Green Bay and reunite with the Packers and quarterback Jordan Love. It just seems like it makes too much sense. And that is why I think it ultimately happens.
Now, I thank you, Isaac, on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat for this, because this was not something I had thought of, but I think it makes a lot of sense. He brings up the idea of Devontae Adams going to the Chiefs, especially since I happened to watch the New Heights podcast a little bit this morning with my wife, and Travis Kelce is sounding like he's going to retire. And if he does, that opens up about $17 million of their cap space for the team. If I'm Devontae Adams, as great as it might be to go back to Green Bay, I'd rather go and play with Patrick Mahomes. Like, and that could turn this into a bidding war that I don't think Goody is willing to get into, because I think the Chiefs might make a huge push to get Devontae Adams and could throw in a huge wrench in this.
Yeah, so Hollywood Brown is a free agent this offseason. That will also affect their ability, right? Because it's not like he's crazy expensive, but that would affect, you know, their investment level at that wide receiver position. Rashee Rice will come back healthy next year. And, of course, Xavier Worthy's there. I think Adams wants to be the top dog. I don't know if you walk into a room with Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Rashee Rice, two wide receivers, those last two, who were on the ascension, at least prior to Rashee Rice's injury early on in the season. I don't know if that's the best scenario for Adams and what he wants. But, yeah, I think it's a good point by Isaac. But I think it is certainly a team that could be a dark horse in landing Devontae Adams. I agree.
I just think there's also a level of, if he wants to try and go and get that ring, he walks into that receiving room and it's Rice, Worthy, and Devontae Adams. That becomes the best receiver room outside of, what, Philly? And if T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are there, like, in Cincinnati, like, it's those three are your conversation for best receiver room. Like, that, I think Kansas City might be where he ends up. I hate to tell you that, Strofe. I know we just did the percentage game, but I think he ends up in KC. I think that's a very real thing.
It's a very interesting thought, and one, admittedly, I've not thought of yet. You know, I've really only thought of the teams that it was leaked he'd be interested in joining, but you'd be a fool to say, Patrick Mahomes wants me to come play with him? Nah, I'm good. Right? You'd be a fool to view it that way. So it is a really interesting thought. Now, I think, is it possible Devontae's on the open market? Absolutely. And I think that might probably change the odds for him ending up in Green Bay. I think there's a very real possibility this ends in a trade, though, and Green Bay would make more sense. At least, look, I think the Jets realize they're not contending for a Super Bowl next year, but they'd like to kick him to the other conference, I think. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. We will see. We will see. So that is my case for Devontae Adams. Good thought by Isaac, though. He literally says in the YouTube chat, if Adams hits the free market, Chiefs might be a real option that nobody has mentioned. Go play with Mahomes and try to get a ring, unless I'm missing something. I don't think you're missing anything. I think that's really good thought by you, Isaac. We will see. All right, we do this each and every Wednesday. Hunter's got a list of topics. I riff off one word. Joshy's not here to monitor, so I'm going to really try to bring my aim game today.
You don't even have part-timer Will back there?
No, part-time Will. I think he's braving the elements and driving back to his apartment as we're at about 4.5 inches of snow today. Oof. Down here in Milwaukee. So, no part-time Will. Nobody can hold me accountable here in Milwaukee. It's all you, Hunter. I'm gonna try to bring my A game, though. Let's play a little One Word Wednesday.
Field Yates mock draft on ESPN. With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Maxwell Harrison, cornerback, University of Kentucky.
Awesome. Look, I have not gotten into my draft prep yet, so I haven't watched film on Maxwell Hairston. But the thing that caught my ear there was the position. I think corner is a very real thing the Packers could address in the first round this year. I am for it because you are likely going to move on from Jair Alexander this offseason. I like it from Field Yates, who I'm looking forward to meeting in Green Bay in a couple of months, assuming he will be there. Maybe he'll be a guest on Mr. Irrelevant. We'll all find out together, but... I like that pick from Field. I'm for it. My word is awesome.
Well, if you haven't done any NFL mock draft prep, I don't know if you've been doing any NBA draft prep, but NBA mock draft on ESPN with the 6th pick of the 2025 NBA draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Con Knipple, Duke University.
Wisco. I mean, that's awesome. Con Knipple, obviously Wisconsin Lutheran, won the state title in Division II last year. Really, really good ball player. He's had a terrific year at Duke. Good to see Wisco representation in the lottery. Con Knipple, 6th overall he's worked his way up to. That is awesome, man. Yeah. Wisco is my word.
Sticking in the NBA, NBA power rankings. The Milwaukee Bucks clock in at number 12. Falling one spot from number 11 after they've gone 2-3 without Giannis.
Kuzma. Kuz. Is my word, I guess. Chant. He's going to make or break what this team does in the postseason. I mean, obviously, they bring him in with hopes he can become that third scoring option behind Dame and Giannis when Giannis eventually returns from this injury following the All-Star break. He's had some nice moments already in Milwaukee, but he's had some games where the Bucks blow a 20-point lead as well. So he's going to make or break this. Kuz is my word.
In college hoops, Joe Lunardi bracketology. The Wisconsin Badgers, a 4 seed, playing in the West region, but they would play first and second round games in Providence.
Ed Cooley territory. Well, formerly Ed Cooley territory. You said a 3 seed or a 4 seed?
4 seed.
Phew. Low. I think this team's going to work their way into a 3 seed. Here's why, right? Like, this Big Ten is pretty good, but this Wisconsin team is really good. What they've been able to do offensively this year is going to win them a lot of basketball games down the stretch here as we enter a really fun part of the season. End of conference play as we enter March, and then obviously the conference tournament. I think they're going to go on a run in the Big Ten tournament because they can shoot the 3-ball better than everybody. I think 4 is low for this Wisconsin team. Might be a hot take, but that's where I stand right now. I think they're going to work their way into a top 12 team in the country come bracketology Sunday.
We'll stay with college hoops. Marquette coming in at a 5 seed. Joe Lunardi has them also playing in Providence, but in the Midwest region, and they take on a 12 seed George Mason.
Yeah, so that means if they're the 5 seed and Wisconsin's the 4 seed, they would not see one another until the Elite Eight, correct?
No, they actually wouldn't see each other until a national championship, just both playing in the same city, but different regions even.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm. 5 seeds seems about right. I mean, lukewarm. I mean, that would be kind of my describing word on where I'm at for Marquette right now. I'm lukewarm on them. They're a good team. They're playing bad basketball right now, despite the win last night. They've got some things to figure out. Now, defensively, they're still really good. Offensively is the struggles. Cam Jones needs to return to form. But they're still a team nobody wants to see in March. I mean,
unlike
Green
Bay. They'd
be a really good five seed. nice drop it.
Your North Carolina Tar Heels are one of the first four out teams.
Rightfully so. I mean, correct. They're not very good this year.
No,
it's just as simple as that.
Wisconsin at Marquette, volleyball being played at Pfizer Forum September 17th.
Stage is my word. That's deserving of a big stage. Marquette went on a nice season this year. Obviously, Wisconsin going on another really nice run. Fell a little short of the Final Four this year. This is awesome. You know, they do the, or this past year, Wisconsin hosted the kind of showcase at Fiserv with some of the best teams in the country, including Texas were here, Stanford was here last year. Now you just get a good old rivalry game in Fiserv Forum as the basketball series heads to Madison next year. I love it.
At the half of this NBA game, the Detroit Pistons led the Chicago Bulls 71-29. The final score was 132-92, obviously going the way of the Pistons.
What's the opposite of offensive? Offensive. Well, I guess defensive would be the opposite of offensive.
That would be, yes.
Is there like is there a word like inoffensive or unoffensive?
I mean, you could just go offensive, like that's offensive to basketball fans.
I mean, it's offensive to Bulls fans.
Yeah.
29 points and a half?
That's awful.
That's like when, you quoted Doug Gottlieb before. It's like when Green Bay allowed a 26-0 run or 28-0 run out of a half one time. Like, how do you even let that happen? Will, you're an Illinois guy. Part-time Will is here now.
Oh,
are you a
good
Bulls fan? Yeah, shortly after you said his name, he appeared. Like Joe Hendry, if anybody understands that reference. Will, you a Bulls fan? You gonna turn your mic on, or
come on,
talk
Will
into it without it on?
Sort of a Bulls fan. I've migrated more to being a Bucks fan now. I've also, Jerry Reinsdorf, I don't know if you Wisconsiners know this, owns the Bulls and the White Sox, both teams which I used to be fans of, and I'm boycotting him. So my fandom has now switched over to the Brewers and the Bucks as of now.
You're boycotting him?
Yes, his teams, rooting for his teams.
So if he sells, will you return back to being a fan?
Yes.
Okay.
It's nothing to do with the performance of the team. I've been...
Well, the 29
points. I mean, the White Sox would say otherwise.
I didn't watch one White Sox game this past season.
Zero?
Zero. I watched two innings.
Oh.
Wait, they played the Brewers, though, too. So even then, you didn't care.
But I was busy when that happened.
grinder. Okay, I get it.
I was on vacation.
I was busy. You're the best.
I've got two
any
more
other
here.
Words?
Post Malone and Travis Barker are releasing an album of Nirvana covers on vinyl.
What's the right word for this? Very like aesthetic is my word. I don't think I'm using that right.
No, you're probably
not. '90s of them. Very 90s, very hippie of them. Vinyl, Nirvana covers, the drummer of Blink-182, and Post Malone. Will just went in my ear and said, your word is aura, which is a great word choice here. Aura!
Okay, thank you, Will. And then finally, I've scheduled to get another tattoo. I want you to try and guess what I'm getting and where. Keep it PG.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly it's not an ass tattoo. Can you get a tattoo on your thingy? Is that something you can do?
I just said keep it PG. And then you just go right there. Just going right to the nether region.
In my defense, that was your fault. You brought my head there. That's a serious question. Can you get a tattoo there?
I'm sure you can. That'd be so painful.
Yeah, that would suck. Okay. You are getting a tattoo on your thigh.
No.
You were getting a tattoo on your shoulder.
I mean, upper arm, so I'll count it. Yeah.
You are getting a sword.
No.
You're getting a dragon.
No.
You are getting a bird.
No. That I was talking with my artist. That'll be the next one after I get this one, though. I'm going to get an eagle.
All right, what is it? Just tell me.
I'm going to get a radio up on my upper arm.
Very nerdy of you. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I figured you'd appreciate that.
I do. I do. I promise I do. I'm calling you a nerd in the most endearing possible way. That's awesome. So what kind of radio? Like, we going old school radio? We going new school radio? We going car radio? Like, what are we doing?
Going like an old school radio. As I was like talking to my tattoo artist about it, he was like, yeah, you know, one of those like old college dorm ones. He's like, you know, like the radio from Brave Little Toaster. As I was literally thinking, yeah, like from Brave Little Toaster. And I'm like, this is my guy. So I'm very excited to get this. It'll be the March 24th, I'm getting it done. So as soon as we're done with that show, because that'll be a Monday, I'm going to be heading out to go and get some more ink.
All right. I want Sleeveless Hunter on the following edition of Mr. Relevant.
I can do that. It'll be end of March. Yeah. Nice. Sun's out, guns out. Yeah.
There we go, baby. Come on now. Come on now. Speaking of suns out, guns out. All right. It's time now for what we learned. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. All right. Part-time Will is a grinder, man. Joshy's out today, so he's up and at him early in the morning, producing Jen, Gabe, and Chewy from 7 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee. I went down here in our studio area. So just to give you a quick inside, GKB Milwaukee. Upstairs is our corporate offices. That's where the desks are. That's where the meetings happen. That's where the conference rooms are. So I spend most of my morning upstairs. I come downstairs here and there, A, to check in on how everything's going on the radio side, given my job. And then B, to you know, I've got to grab papers and whatnot. I came down to visit Will this morning. Will, how hot do you think it is in the room you're sitting in right now?
It was like 80 degrees. It felt like 82.
I bet it's higher than that. Like, I legitimately think it's 85 degrees.
It started heating up like halfway through the morning show, and I had to like stand up and like.
It's 80 degrees in the studio. Yeah. I've done this entire show sweating my ass off.
I've been like half in, half out, like standing in the doorway all morning.
I am, I'm dying a little bit. So that is how we're going to end the show, is that it's really, really hot in here, and I've been a warrior the last hour.
Thank you for your service.
I think we need to go spend like 20 minutes outside just to like appreciate the warmth in here.
You want to go make a snow angel with me?
I'd actually be so in.
All right, we're going to go make snow angels. We're back with you Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and available wherever you get your podcasts. Want to remind you, we're putting things out on that podcast feed every day. Right? I recorded a 6-minute episode yesterday. What about? You're going to have to go find that out on your own. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Little Tuesday Quickie edition. On Thursdays, you can find Weekly Wildy with myself and Jason Wildy on that podcast feed, at least for one more week. And then obviously your normal shows Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So if you're rocking with us on YouTube, please do me a favor. Go subscribe. Even if you don't listen to the show, just click subscribe. It helps out the show. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, just search Mr. Relevant. We'll be the first result that pops up. And we're going to do some special things only that you can only find in that podcast feed. So if you haven't already, please go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Looking forward to Friday. Looking forward to the return of Joshy. Good contributions by part-time Will today, though. Proud of him. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll talk to you Friday. Peace.